We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show, and that means two things. Number one, we're going to preview this weekend's game with Illinois, and we get Bob and Andy back in. So guys, I hope you're ready to talk about Illinois, but first, we got to name our winner. So yes, another week. I think there's a couple weeks in a row now that I've remembered to name the winner.
Three.
So I'm three. Is it three in a row, Andy? Very good. So I'm patting myself on the back for that. Mike from Lawrenceville, New Jersey, is our winner. I will be reaching out to you, Mike, and you will be getting that fantastic Labatt Blue shirt. All right, it's time to talk Illinois. Bob, let's start with you. You're the guy who always has our scouting report. Yeah. What could you tell us about this? What are they, 2-5 Illinois team?
Yeah. They missed one game. I don't know if it was they had COVID issues or the team they were supposed to play had COVID issues. Last week, you know, they just got run over in Evanston by Northwestern. The score, I think, was 28-10, but they were never really in it. I think they scored late. Northwestern ran for over 400 yards. This team does have two wins earlier in the year. They won at Rutgers, and I think they won at Nebraska. But really, the big news isn't so much about the personnel. It's about the coaching. The program dismissed Lovie Smith after the Northwestern game. He had been there 5 years, and they really hadn't had much success. The OC, Rod Smith, I believe is his name, is going to be the interim head coach. And you just have to wonder what the mindset is for Illinois in week 9. You know, your head coach is no longer kind of with you. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with the offensive coordinator. You got to get on a plane during a pandemic in cold weather, come to State College for a game you weren't even sure you were going to play, you know, a week ago. They're two touchdown underdogs. I don't know that you can make this line big enough. We talked about it. I think Penn State's got a lot of incentive to kind of win 4 in a row, maybe take some of the sting out of that 0-5 start. One thing Illinois can do is they can run the ball. They have a very good running back in Chase Brown. I don't think they give it to him enough. Their quarterbacks haven't done very much throwing the ball. They have some good defensive players, but I wouldn't necessarily call that a good defense. A lot of holes, I think, in Illinois' team this late in the year. And it's hard for me to foresee a scenario where Penn State would kind of drop the ball in week 9. I think they want to play hard, get to 4-5, and go from there.
Well, Andy, you and I were talking about this off the air, that the Big Ten outside of Ohio State is not the deepest, not a very good conference. There's not many teams that stand out. And we've seen among that group, you don't know what to expect week to week. So in another year, I think Penn State at home against a 2-win Illinois team, we might take it for granted. But maybe we shouldn't take this Illinois team for granted, because this Penn State team isn't capable of taking anybody for granted.
Right. So Bob is right. There is a lot of timing involved in this. Again, admitting my fully following too much college football, I have followed Illinois probably too closely and know too much more than anybody else. But so they did win some games early, and they were competitive. Like, they were in their games early, right? And they look kind of like anybody else. They look like Maryland or Rutgers, and Penn State lost to Maryland. And, you know, they were capable. They have battled COVID issues. That is one thing, Bob. They've played games where they've been missing in the high teens and low 20s in terms of players. They've been in and out. Their quarterback position has been wildly inconsistent. They can run the ball. Last week was the first week they got, like, flat out steamrolled. They just got boat raced last week by Northwestern, right? They weren't even in the game. Bob's 100% right. And then they turn around and fire Lovie Smith to add even more fuel to the fire. So I think Their defense is potentially dangerous. That's the one sticky point for me. They're not very good at times, but they take a ton of risks. They create turnovers. They're aggressive. They create sacks and tackles for a loss. And Jake Hansen's a really good linebacker, but man, they'll give up some plays too. If you find something or find their hole, as Northwestern did last week, and just get going downhill, they are totally incapable of stopping you. And Penn State has to find what that is and do it, but they'll give up some big plays. They might come after you, but they will give up plenty. And that's a lot of what it looks like across the entire Big Ten.
Bob, when you look at this Illinois team, as you said, traveling across the country, the god-awful weather going on, they just fired their head coach. It seems like there's a lot of reasons for this Illinois team to not have the greatest incentive to make this trip and play a big game. But what if you're now that interim coach, how do you get this Illinois team ready for a game like this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's going to be, I think you're going to know pretty early Saturday at Beaver Stadium how into it Illinois is. And I'll tell you why you're going to know early, because if they don't start fast against this Penn State team, Penn State in all their home games this year, I think they've given up 20 or more points or close to it. I think Ohio State only got 17, but you know, if you look at the games, you know, I think 21 Iowa, 27 or 28 Maryland.
Yeah,
I mean, they've given up like 90 first half points. So you know, even Michigan State had 21 points in like 10 minutes there in the second quarter. So I just think that if you don't see Illinois doing any damage against Penn State in the first half, then you know this team is in trouble, because that's been one thing that's been consistent about Penn State at home this year. They give up a lot of points in the first half. I just don't know what the incentive is for this Illinois team. I mean, pride only goes so far during a pandemic, and with the coaching change, I just really think that these guys maybe might be thinking about other things than football.
Andy, you described this Illinois defense as a team that will take chances, try to force turnovers. Gee, when Penn State was in the midst of a five-game losing streak, what was the issue? Turnovers.
Right.
So I'm now going to put you in Kirk Shiraka's shoes. You're game planning for Illinois. You've been having a very conservative approach the last three games during the three-game winning streak. What are you looking to do going into this game?
I'm looking not to do quarterback draw. No, I'm just joking. okay, I said it. Bob will probably agree with it. We like what we've seen out of Brenton Strange the last two games without Pat Freiermuth as a sort of intermediate pass-catching tight end. Parker Washington and Jahan Dotson, I think you can go downfield and take huge risks if you can get a little bit of protection up front and hit some big plays. Hint, hint, I have a big play prediction coming in my bold prediction. So I'm just giving you a hint, hint. I think you can beat this defense on big plays in big spots and find lots of green space and open space for your guys to work in. And I think that's the job of Kirk Shiraka this week, is to find out how to get his guys in those spots, because there's going to be a lot of them. You don't have to be buttoned up against this team. You don't have to be buttoned up to be successful against Illinois. I think you can open it up just a little bit more this week and do a little bit more probing down the field.
Bob, we've been talking so much the last several games about how conservative this offense has gotten, but it does appear they have found something with a short passing game, those crossing routes,
right?
Both Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington, and as Andy mentioned, even the tight end a bit, even without Pat Freiermuth. So I'm not sure conservative means you have to run it 100 times, that there is something of a passing game available to them.
Yeah, and James was talking a little bit about why the team has kind of changed its identity, maybe on offense the last couple of weeks. The sacks are down. One of the reasons the sacks are down during the win streak is because they haven't had to throw 45 times a game, and because they haven't fallen behind and they haven't turned the ball over, so they can be a little bit more conservative. They've got, you know, other than the Michigan State game where they fell behind 21-10, you know, they got the lead against Michigan, they got the lead against Rutgers, and they could kind of feed off of that. I just think that their RPO with the quarterback run and also with what Kevon Lee was able to do prior to the Michigan State game, teams are respecting, I think, the running game a little bit more. And I think that's opened up some things via the RPO in the past. And I will say this, you can see that both Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington, one of their strength, they have a lot of strengths, first of all, but they're really good in space and they're really good after the catch. Yeah. Jahan Dotson's punt return is a good example of how dangerous he is with the ball in his hands after the catch. Maybe, I mean, you could still throw the ball short or in the middle and let them do damage. And I think you're seeing them take less chances with those 50-50 jump balls, and they're actually giving the ball to their playmakers in space and letting them kind of run with it. I would, if they're going to throw the ball, I would look for more of that. Parker Washington, really one of the top freshmen in the Big Ten, no question. And he has just been, I can't remember a true freshman wide receiver, a true freshman, not a redshirt freshman, emerge like this. He does a lot of things really, really well, and I think he's gotten better each week.
And it really looks like he has an ability after the catch to do damage, Bob, which you alluded to. So I think one of these games we're going to see him really break out, a big one. All right, we're closing in on making our predictions. I'm going to go right back to you, Bob, so that we leave enough time for Andy's prediction and his bold prediction. What do you got? Penn State is a 15.5 point favorite.
My heart's kind of a flutter right now because of A'Shea's prediction, because he teased it. So I'm going to get out of the way. I don't know about the mindset at Illinois. I think Penn State really does want to be in this game and play this game, even though they just had senior day. I think Illinois is going to have a hard time scoring because they're kind of one-dimensional. I got it 27-7 Penn State, and I would look for Penn State to try and get their running backs a little bit more involved in the running game. That was the one thing that disappointed me against Michigan State. Neither of the two freshman runners really were able to do much damage. So 27-7 for me, Penn State.
Okay, Andy, prediction and bold prediction.
So I think Illinois has a quarterback problem. Both of they're using two of them, and it's not really working, right? They're both looking over their shoulders. They've both been miserable and dreadful at times. They can run the ball a little bit. I think one of the issues for me is they lost their best offensive lineman a couple games ago to a knee injury. So I think that's impacted them. I think Penn State is a confident football team now. I think they are playing with confidence. I think they're having fun. I predict them to win 34-14. My bold prediction for the second week in a row, Jahan Dotson has a touchdown covering 80 or more yards. This one is by a pass from Sean Clifford.
Wow, that is pretty bold. That choked you up there, Andy. All right, that is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to join us next time.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.